Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein Marashi, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad to all those book lovers out there. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is RIB English Radio and we are Bookshelf broadcasting from Iran. So this is a verse from the Quran. قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها. They will answer, we were oppressed in the land. And the angels will say, was not God's earth large enough for you to migrate? The last few centuries have been terrible times for Muslims. As a result of foreign invasion and internal oppression, these years have produced millions of Muslim migrants. One of the effects of this migration is that more people have become exposed to Islam and Islamic thinking, but mostly not academic Islam, but that which the migrants took with themselves. So there's a lot of misunderstanding about Islam, and that's understandable. The Muslims who migrated mostly fled danger and persecution. One migrates, but one also yearns for a time to return back home. It is only natural for them to be passionate about their home country, and so thoughts of going back and toppling the dictator are ever present. But you have an oppressive dictator waiting for you back home. This is where we encounter the word jihad. Jihad has a lot of meanings, but generally it means a great endeavor. A great struggle for achieving something. While the minor jihad is war, the greater jihad is to fight the evil inside ourselves. One meaning of jihad is to fight back for what's right. Defeating the totalitarian back home, for instance, might be an example. But doubts remain in people's minds. Should one ever migrate, or should they always stay home regardless of the price? Because we're patriots, right? Do immigration and jihad ever become mandatory? May leaving one's town ever become a must in the opinion of Islam?
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا.
You are listening to Bookshelf broadcasting from IRIB English Radio from the Islamic Republic of Iran. We were talking about the importance of immigration and jihad and the various approaches to it. So the book that I want to introduce today is called Immigration and Jihad by Murtada Mutahhari, translated by Najim Al-Khafaji and published by Dar al-Hadi Publications, London, UK. The verse I read at the beginning of the show, the verse that, let me read it again, we were oppressed in the land and the angels will say, was not God's earth large enough for you to migrate? This verse comes from chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa, verse 97. Well, today's book addresses this interesting subject. It's called Immigration and Jihad by Ayatollah Murtada Mutahhari. And we have before introduced a lot of books by Mutahhari, and I can just tell you that they're great. And if you've read any of them, you'll know what I'm talking about. The book comes in just 38 pages, so it's not a very big book. And it's been published by Dar al-Hadi Publications, London, UK. Alright, now let me read the contents for you. It begins with an introduction, a translator's note, introduction to the Arabic translation, and then this book is basically the lectures of Ayatollah Mutahhari. One of them is awaiting relief from suffering, and the other one is jihad, and the third lecture, well, it doesn't have a title.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
I'm going to read you the first lecture. And I'm going to skip the parts where Ayatollah Mutahhari glorifies God so that we can save time. He who forsakes his home in the cause of God finds in the earth many a refuge, wide and spacious. Should he die as a refugee from home for God and his messenger, his reward becomes due and sure with God. And God is oft forgiving, most merciful. Chapter 4, verse 100. Immigration and jihad are two cornerstones in which Islam relies on in the social field. As is evident, the Holy Quran has, out of reverence for their sanctity, held them in high regard wherever they are mentioned. Similarly, it has conferred great veneration and grandeur on the rank of immigrants and mujahideen, the fighters back. Immigration, or hijra, means leaving one's home, people, and homeland for a new place of abode, with a view to saving one's faith from being compromised. In many Quranic verses, you will notice that both words are mentioned beside each other. Those who believe and adopt exile and fight for the faith and the cause of Allah, as well as those who give them asylum and aid, these are all in very truth the believers. For them is the forgiveness of sins and a provision most generous. In the early days of Islam, Muslims used to be divided into two groups, Al-Muhajirun, the migrants, and Al-Ansar, the supporters or helpers. Al-Ansar were the inhabitants of Medina, previously known as Yathrib, who gave Al-Muhajirun haven and aid. The latter were the ones who fled their homes and traveled to Medina in order to preserve their faith. In common with jihad, immigration is an Islamic Sharia rule that is not constant. That is, it becomes a performable religious obligation on Muslims when certain circumstances emerge and certain conditions are met. To avoid misunderstanding and contradictions in understanding the rules of both jihad and immigration, we set out here to discuss the subject in some detail. For both jihad and immigration, different interpretations have been put forward, for instance, different from the one we have just mentioned. Immigration has been taken to mean the abandonment of misdeeds and sinning, thus the immigrant is the person who emigrated from the camp of disobedience. How precise is this interpretation? Would the person whose soul has been tainted with sins, he then repented a true repentance, become a deserter of misdeeds? If we accept this interpretation, all people of the world who repented would fit in this description, for they forsook the vile deeds they were committed. Ibn Ayyad used to be a thief. He turned his back to this type of wrongdoing and turned to God in a true penitence. Having mended his ways, he became a great man, turning into a famous teacher and educationalist for many people. In the spell when he had taken to stealing, Ibn Ayyad was in the process of breaking into a house with the intent to steal. While he was scaling the fence of the house, he noticed that the owner of the house was in the middle of a devotional prayer, reciting the Holy Quran in a submissive voice. He heard the man recite, "Has not the time arrived for the believers that their hearts in all humility should engage in the remembrance of Allah?" While listening to this Quranic verse being recited, he somehow felt that as though he were being addressed with those words.
7, there are much pressure.
We come to you, and O God, knowing that thou art our only King.
Stay tuned to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio Broadcasting from Iran would like to welcome you back to Bookshelf. We were busy reading the book Immigration and Jihad, a marvelous book by Murtada Mutahhari and translated by Najim Al-Khafaji. The book has been published by Dar Al-Hadi Publications, London, UK. Let's keep reading. The words shocked him to the core, so much so that he retorted, "O Lord, ye, it is high time, and it's up." And then came down the fence, after he had been dissuaded from carrying out his raid. This was the last time he carried out an offending, be it a criminal activity, consuming alcohol, or gambling and all other sins. He made a clean break with his unsavory past, and in order to wipe the slate clean and forget about his past, he made amends with the victims of his crimes and reached a settlement with them, i.e. compensating them for what he stole from them and asking their forgiveness. He further made amends with his creator. Therefore, Ibn Ayyad fits the definition of immigration in that he abandoned the vile deeds he was hooked on. So, I hope you get the point. These are lectures made by Shahid Mutahhari, and so you can actually sense, you can taste the eloquence of his speaking. Shahid Mutahhari was a fantastic orator, and you can see how he's building on to explain how immigration has different meanings, which meaning he wants to use, why he wants to use it, and then build his argument based on that. Unfortunately, I'd love to read more of this to you, but that's all the time we have. If you missed it, you can download Immigration and Jihad by Ayatollah Murtada Mutahhari, published by Dar al-Hadi Publications, London, UK, from al-islam.org. And if you missed our program, you can download an archive from our website. That's all the time we have. Until next week, from IRIB English Radio and Bookshelf, it's Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.